Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Clean Energy Radio. I'm Bruce Blake, along with my lovely wife, Susan.
Good morning.
And we're your hosts for today. We're with Powerhouse Solar, locally owned and operated, family-owned company in Reading since 2003. And today our program, what we do each week is we talk about renewable energy and different ways for people to save money and how they can lower their utility bills, how they can, and it's everything kind of associated with that. We do several things. We do PV, which is photovoltaic, which is solar electricity. We do solar pool heating to help people enjoy and extend their swim season. We do sun tunnels, anything kind of associated with the sun and getting enjoyment and power and energy from the sun. And so we're excited to be here today. And we're excited. We've been we've got a special guest that I have known for a little over 10 years, Adam McIlvaine. And he and I go back. Adam, why don't you go ahead and say hi. And
hi. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning.
We're doing great. It's good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I met Adam at the Shasta Builders Exchange. He was working with the exchange, and he was in charge of a project for renewables. And it was sustainable housing, and we created the what was called the Agree Park, and Adam kind of spearheaded that whole project. And at that time, I was really impressed with this young man and his interest in solar and his it was great. And so, and then I lost track of him for years. but we've recently reconnected, and we've been excited to hear that he is running for city council.
Yes.
In November. And so our show today is going to be kind of revolving around Adam. And so I wanted to, Adam, if you don't mind, if you could just give us a little bit of history, kind of where you grew up and kind of where you got to you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I'm originally from rural Nebraska.
Wow.
And grew up on a farm, attended a rural school, K through 8 was 26 kids.
Wow.
I had one girl in my class growing up, and then got a school permit when I turned 14, started driving into the closest town, which is about 5,000 people, to go to high school. And then after high school, went to school in Michigan for 2 years to attend college. And shortly after September 11th, I decided to join the United States Air Force.
Oh, nice.
And that's where I met my wife. We were both linguists. I was an Arabic linguist in the Air Force. She was a Korean linguist in the Army, and we met at the language school in Monterey, California.
Oh. No way.
Yeah, and so she's originally from Reading, and so what we did is after we finished our...
What's your wife's name?
Her name is Courtney Long.
Courtney.
So Courtney
awesome.
McIlvaine now, but we met at the language school in Monterey, California, and we decided that after we finished our time in the service that we wanted to live close to grandparents to raise our own family.
Right.
And so we made a checklist between Reading and Nebraska. And Reading won every category. So I'm so excited to be here, and I love, you know, really love Reading and am passionate about it. And, you know, sometimes it's upsetting for me when people get real down on Reading, and I think, you know, you should spend a year in Nebraska and come back and see what you think of Reading. So, you know, love living here and, you know, very excited about our future, especially with solar. We're uniquely well-positioned to see a lot of solar in the coming years in Reading.
So we're so glad you see that.
Yeah, very excited about that.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So what does Courtney do?
So Courtney's a financial advisor.
Yeah.
And she's currently the chairman of the board for the Chamber of Commerce.
Nice.
So we're both very passionate about improving the business environment in Reading and excited about the potential that Reading has.
Yeah. Now you have two kids?
So we have two kids. I have an 8-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And actually just spent the last, about 2 weeks building a treehouse for them. And we're going to wrap it up tonight after work, and they're going to go play in the treehouse for the first time. So that's pretty exciting.
How great is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. So so you came to Reading. You worked with the exchange.
Yes.
And then what did you do after then when we lost contact? What did you do in those years after that?
So what I did is, you know, when I first moved back to town after being in the service, I was approached by a few various community leaders asking if I'd be interested in running for city council. And I was, of course, with my military service, you know, civic service was very interesting to me. But rather than running for city council and jumping him up to my neck, what was suggested is that I try out a commission. So I've spent over 6 years as a commissioner with the city of Reading. So that's, you know, you're appointed by the mayor to different commissions. I've served on two different commissions, the Community Services Advisory Commission and the Reading Electric Utility Commission, which has given made me a lot more familiar with solar and the potential for solar.
And kind of the inner workings of the utility.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
And so chaired both of those commissions. The Community Services Advisory Commission, you know, we looked at things like privatizing the Civic Center, privatizing Convention and Visitors Bureau. That was when the city budget was really contracting during the recession, so we were looking at cost-saving measures.
Now, that worked out pretty well, didn't it? When
it did.
It was when Bethel Church took over.
It did. And they were ready to shutter the doors at the Civic Auditorium. Mm. I mean, literally go board it up. So I was very excited that there was a tenant like Bethel that could come in and take it over.
Yeah.
And bring in the entertainment that the city loves and use it themselves.
Yeah.
So they actually turned, we were losing about $1 million a year and turned that into a profit of about $300,000 to $400,000 a year.
Wow.
So big deal for the city.
Yeah.
And then, spent a lot of time on the RU Commission and learned a lot about the regulatory environment for the city.
Fascinating.
State laws, you know, legislation.
It's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's pretty unbelievable. But current legislation and proposed legislation, future legislation. So it's very, solar is still a very dynamic area, you know, where things are changing quite frequently.
Right.
So it keeps it very interesting.
Yeah.
And so currently I'm a partner at a marketing firm in Reading, and it's called Pacific Sky. We were formerly West Coast Innovations, and business is actually going exceptionally well this year, which
nice.
Is very exciting. And it's, we've had some great months, and it's like that really throughout the industry. And that's, when marketing is very busy, that usually shows a lot of confidence in the business community.
Right.
You know, when they're spending more dollars on marketing.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So I think it's, you know, this year feels really good. I think the drought being over is helping to push the economy a little bit. And it was there was so much bad news for so many years there that, now that we're having more of a normal year, it feels really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Seems like things are starting to get back on track a little bit and we're starting to ramp up. But we have this old problem that we keep dealing with we feel like we're butting our heads as a company, as a solar company in town. For me, I feel like I'm butting my head against, the city, and it's frrustrating. And so,
right.
You know, you have given me a lot of insight into some of the inner thinking of the city and how they function, and, you know, to help understand where they're coming from and what they're dealing with. And some of it's short-sighted, and some of there's some real valid concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a mixed bag, and I think we see those things clearly. But, you know, we'll talk some more about that. I'm excited to see kind of the direction that we're headed, with it. We had that meeting last week that we were invited to for the future of solar rebate and that sort of thing and what that was going to look like. What did you think about that meeting?
You know, I enjoyed the forum. I think any time that we can get solar into the public spotlight, we need to do that. You know, bring that conversation to the surface because it's such an integral part of our future. You know, my vision is that in 2030, there's going to be solar all over the place in Reading, you know, on top of parking garages, downtown, publicly owned buildings. Rooftop will probably be the majority of that, you know, 40, 50, 60% of the solar in town, and community solar projects, and then potentially utility-grade solar. So I think any time that you can bring the conversation into the public spotlight, it's very important. And I think that the group that put that on did a really great job you know, bringing this to the surface, getting some collective minds in there to discuss the issues. And so I thought it was a really great event, and I'd like to see more of it.
Yeah, it was interesting because it wasn't all – I mean, it seemed like it was pretty well balanced because there was a point there where the city was making the comment, Barry Tippin was making the comment that the city, you know, was pro-solar, but it was kind of a slippery slope that they were losing revenue when a solar customer chose to go mm-hmm. on their own. And that was an interesting exchange.
Right.
I thought that – that the gal that was there on video feed, she kind of called out and said, "Well, the studies don't really support that."
Yeah.
And because the attitude was, well, if the customer's going solar, they're basically being pulled from the revenue stream, and you know it's a negative thing. But the reality is that it's not. And they don't take into account the benefit that solar has on the solar on the whole grid.
Mm-hmm.
So, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I understand the argument on both sides, and I think there's that middle ground. And I, you know, what the utility was saying is that they don't want to pay the full retail rate, you know, which is
right.
the full price, which makes sense because they're still providing the grid, which has some substantial value, but. The customers don't want to pay wholesale, which is quite a bit lower.
Right.
So I think there's some healthy middle ground because, you know, as I was mentioning, when you're producing solar, you're producing during peak demand.
Right.
And that's when power is the most valuable.
Right.
So I think there is some sort of healthy middle ground there. It is important to understand, though, that if you're going to do a grid-tied system, that there is value in using the grid.
The customer could have the option, though, and this is an interesting point of conversation because I think this is the direction we may be headed, to do a battery backup system.
Yeah.
Where if they do that, all of that solar energy doesn't go back to the grid at all.
Right.
And the customer is now choosing to provide all their own power, use the power they're producing during the day, store any excess in the battery bank, and then draw that energy off of the battery bank at night.
Yes.
But is that really what the utility wants? I mean, when you think about it, now that customer is really gone. I mean, the whole benefit of solar during peak demand is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like they're making such a fuss about it. They're almost getting ready to shoot themselves in the foot by fighting this whole process. And people say, okay, fine, I'll just do a battery backup. I will arbitrage my own power. I will generate during the day. And then I'll store it in battery bank, and then I'll pull it out at night, and I won't use you at all.
Yeah. Currently, though, you can't really do that because you can't go off the grid in town yet. And that's one of the policy changes I want to make is to allow people to do that.
Yeah.
Because they do have the red tagging policy where if you're not, you know, you have to be an RU customer.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And but the customer theoretically isn't off grid. The customer theoretically is the meter simply does not spin backwards.
Oh, right.
Ever.
Yes.
And so they're generating and they're storing and they're consuming their own power, but they're still connected to the grid. So if the batteries drop down at a certain point, then they'll pull it in from the grid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so so it's a little bit more than going off grid, because I agree with you. A customer should have the option of going completely off-grid and shutting the utility off.
Mm-hmm.
And it just irks me no end to think, how can they tell me what I can and can't use on my own property? And if I want to go and I want to provide my own – because we design off-grid systems all the time for customers that are state-of-the-art, and they're huge. And you can run completely normal off-grid, completely on your own.
Mm-hmm.
But – the utility won't allow us to do that. They'll evict you out of your home. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. So that's the way it's set up now, and it's a building code interpretation. So it's the city's own interpretation of not a law, but the building code. Well, which is law, but it's something that I think needs to be changed. It's called the red tagging policy. And yeah, it's typically if families don't pay their electric bill, they'll evict you from your home. And I think it's $2,500 a day fine if you're still in your home past the day that you're supposed to leave.
Wow. So let's talk more about that. We're going to take a break right now. And we're excited to be here with Adam McIlvaine. And we're Powerhouse Solar. And if you need to get a hold of us, we're available at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at www.powerhousesolar.com. And we'll be right back.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to 2 Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of the Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Our guests for Monday will include Enjoy the Magazine, Rhonda Ball, and James Masada to talk about what's happening in Northern California during this month and next month. We'll also do catch-ups on what happened in Nice, France, and any follow-ups to that. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
This is Sue Sue Blake. I'm here with Bruce, and we're Clean Energy Radio here Saturday morning, and we have a special guest today, Adam McElvain, and we're talking solar and how it affects all of us, especially in the city of Reading.
We just came off of a topic that just drives, I can't even believe this topic, and it's hard to even imagine it's happening. Can you give us a little backstory on your understanding of what this, what's it called, red tag?
Yeah, so it's just the red tagging policy, and it's a policy that's citywide that you have to, if you don't pay your electric bill or you don't have service through RU, they can evict you from your home, even if you're a private landowner, you know, and it's and you own the home. I think in, you know, rentals or multifamily housing,
yeah,
you know, where you're sharing a wall,
right,
where that might make sense. But even if it's your own, you know, single family residence and you own the home,
and they can evict you from your home.
Correct. And that's it's a building code interpretation.
Right.
So
do they call
it
a health and safety issue? What are they seeing?
I'd imagine that's what the bottom line is for them, but it's not something that you see elsewhere, because, you know, if PG&E, you know, if you're in PG&E territory and you don't pay your electric bill, PG&E does not come
and evict
you from your home. So it's a serious issue, and the reason that I want to change it is not only because I feel like it's unfair treatment for people who are private property owners, but it's a big deal for solar.
Yeah.
You know, if people want to go off the grid and produce their own power, they should be more than able to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is America. We're a free country, and
so
if you want to produce your own power, you should be able to.
Yeah, a lot of our customers come in and they're building a home and they pick, you know, rural areas because they want to be more independent and that sort of thing. They want to have whatever, and we'll put in these state-of-the-art off-grid systems, and they can live completely normally, you know, with AC power that everybody else uses, and they can generate it all themselves and store it in battery banks and use it at night and have a generator backup, completely safe, completely UL-listed, completely compliant. And yet, if I live in the city of Reading, the city's telling me I can't do that.
Correct. Yep, you can't leave the grid. You can't not be grid tied. So,
is there any other utility anywhere that has the same policy?
I'm not familiar with any, so I haven't run across any.
We've never seen anything like that.
Right. So it's and it's something where, you know, this is one of the reasons that I'm running for city council, is because I feel like this is a very significant issue that needs to be changed.
Yeah.
And you need the leadership that understands how it all works, so that you can bring that conversation forward and make the change.
Yeah. I think, Adam, I think you are in so many ways uniquely qualified for the position because of the committees that you have sat on. A lot of people running, you know, I think are good people, but they don't have the depth of knowledge that you've seen over the years to be able to make some of the decisions. You don't understand they don't understand the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we really, as a company, feel like we really want to endorse you to that role of being in the city council, because of what you understand about solar, what you understand about some of these policies that are in place that are just really crazy, and they shouldn't be there. And so we really appreciate your heart in wanting to run for this office, because I can't imagine doing that.
It's very busy, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for anyone that decides to run, because there's a lot of things going on any given time. So,
yeah.
But I do appreciate being here and really appreciate your support. You know, there's a lot to be done, and I think there's a tremendous amount of potential in Reading. And, we need more energy from the younger generation that understands the economy and the direction things are going and how we can capitalize on the resources that Reading has currently.
Absolutely. So I'm going to put my ignorance on display a little bit. But so how do we change this policy? What has to happen to change that policy?
It's just a city council vote.
It's a city council. So does someone on the council bring it up? Someone brings it up and says, hey, listen,
we need to change this policy, this interpretation, and allow people to, you know, eliminate the red tagging policy. Because not only would it be, you know, I'm not sure, they don't really evict that many people from their homes with the red tagging policy, but that's because of that enormous fine, where for every day that you're in your home pass, I think it's $2,500 a day.
Yeah.
So they hardly ever find anyone in their home because of that that cost. But to me,
with
you know, the rare instances, you know, it's probably 10, 20, 30 families a year. But I personally would rather have those families still in their homes than on the street.
Yeah.
You know, and they may not be living in the best conditions in their homes, but it's better than in a business's doorway.
Right.
Or at the mission or in the car, you
right.
know. So it's, you know, it's kind of twofold. At the same time, I want to, you know, with people who are very interested in solar and wanting to go independent, and I know multiple business owners that want to go solar.
Right.
And some of them want to be off-grid.
Right.
And be independent of the grid. And I think that we need to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
Do you think the public is aware of the red tag policy?
Oh, yes.
They are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it's been a big issue, you know, in the past.
It
hasn't come up in the last year or so. But, no, it's been an ongoing issue, and it's something that, you know, I think in the right instance, if you had the right person, that it could definitely be challenged in court. But you
Absolutely.
Have to think the people that are getting evicted are people that can't pay their bills.
That's right.
So they're not usually people that can defend themselves.
They, have, right. they don't have the resource to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't have the resource to keep the power on. So,
right.
Yeah. Or, I mean, even if you just made the choice that you, for whatever reason, you felt like, you know, I don't want to be dependent upon the grid. I want to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more and more of that attitude of self-sufficiency that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and really the city of Reading is saying, no, you can't be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
You can't provide your own power. But the city's got to realize, I mean, everybody that's in as a utility ratepayer is in the revenue stream.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's that fear that if they are removed out of the revenue stream, there could be this cascading. It's a slippery slope, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And but the reality is, I mean, there's not that many people that would actually do it.
Right.
If they had the option that
right.
would really go off grid, especially because the rates are low. And but this type of thing, you know, stimulates competition and stimulates mm-hmm. makes the utility keep their rates low.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they get abusive on their rate increases and they're bumping them up high, I mean, then people will be more and more apt to take a second alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're levying these huge fines on us,
mm-hmm.
then it just keeps people from doing it. It's like, so it's bad. It's stifling
well,
free market.
One of the things the utility needs to do is make its own investments in solar.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the real issue, because as you have the private sector, the people with the means to go solar, and then they see that ROI in 5 to 10 years, the city needs to be doing the same thing.
Right.
And there needs to, it's not, you know, we don't need to jump in up to our neck, but we need to start moving down that path
right.
of that investment. And so I'd like to see definitely more of that from the public side. So then that the people that are part of the traditional system, you know, with the utility, that they're realizing that return on investment.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, a multifaceted approach, and Reading really needs to do more investing in solar. Really at every level.
Right.
And, you know, the state of California is forcing us to use more renewable power.
Right.
We have to be 50% renewable now by 2030. And it's, you know, when you look at Reading, and we're one of the sunniest cities in the country.
Right.
I think that's a real indicator.
Yeah.
One of the things, and I don't know if I'd mentioned this to you, Bruce, but when I announced my platform for city council in January, I was very... solar is one of my top three items that I'm running on.
Yay.
And so within a couple of weeks, I got a call from a group named Solar City.
Oh, yeah.
And they were very interested in supporting my campaign, and they said, we have been researching Reading for the last 6 months, and Reading is the largest untapped solar market in the state of California.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And so for me, when I hear that, that to me is jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the main reasons that I'm really a proponent of solar is because of the jobs that it will create. You know, it's the solar labor market has doubled in the last 5 years and expected to double again
right.
in the next 5 years.
Right.
And you had mentioned how many companies are in Reading now?
Well, it was like, I think 24 or something.
20,
I think there was a lot. When they did the best of the North State, I think there was like 24 companies that were listed.
And so that's, I mean, you know, how much can we grow those companies? How many new companies can we bring
yeah.
in? I mean, this is hundreds of jobs, and they're living wage jobs.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't minimum wage stuff.
Right.
This is where a guy can go out and
That's right.
raise a family and afford to get a house.
Yep.
So it's, to me, it's incredibly important, the job factor.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, when I hear that we're the largest untapped solar market and we're the sunniest city, to me, there's a real discrepancy in the policies
exactly.
that we have in Reading.
Well, the statistic that I, you know, with, I think there's over 30,000 meters, residential meters, in 38,000, I think it is. Don't quote me.
36.
That 36. Okay.
Yeah.
So 36, and then when this whole rate change thing came up, and the amount of solar that had been installed in Reading, they were on their 300th generator.
Oh, really?
Number.
Yeah.
So every solar system gets issued a generator number, and they were on like 300. So our company alone, in the years I've been in business, I've done, you know, probably close to 1,500 installations, solar installations. And really, the city of Reading has 300, or now I think they're
total.
up to maybe 500.
Okay.
Is where they're at now. But in the scheme of things, it's such a small drop in the bucket, and yet they're making, you know, and I do understand that it's kind of a slippery slope, but it's still, it's such a small drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
That, and now you've got, now there's 27 companies, and each of those represent quite a few installations, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a minuscule thing. And the city makes it very, very difficult. So not only just, you know, they're fighting us on the rate structure, where they're trying to, the whole rate structure, you know, was really designed to stop solar. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, I don't care what anybody says. When you look at it, when they saw Solar City coming into town, Solar City was going to put a brick and mortar in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the city has made it so arduous for them to do what they needed to do. Solar City pulled out, and they actually, they're down in Chico. And so there's still a couple salesmen up here, but that's it. They backed off the city of Reading because it was so difficult to get anything done. And then since the city didn't get that rate structure change passed, solar still made sense financially. And then so now they're making it incredibly difficult on the building permit side. And their stuff they're doing to us is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's unfortunate to hear, and something that, as a city council person, you know, I could definitely look into.
Yeah.
To make sure that doesn't occur. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but just a month or two ago, Butte County, in the entire county, came out with these zones where they're extra solar friendly, and they'll fast track permits. And I think it's a 48 or 72 hour turnaround.
Wow. Nice.
So beautiful. They have these big zones throughout the county. And if you're in one of those zones, I can't remember what they call it, but they do fast track permitting for solar projects.
Is that right?
And that's the direction we should be heading in.
Yes.
Now, some of it is mandated, where they, you know, the new assembly bill passed, and that is where they have to expedite. So apparently the backstory is Governor Brown went to Germany, and Germany is a huge solar market, which is crazy because their weather is so bad. It's like being up in Washington, Seattle area. It's like that's the weather pattern in Germany. And yet they are very solar proactive and just doing crazy amounts of solar. And what he noticed was that this expedited permitting process was huge. And just, you know, they're getting stuff done like over the counter, and, you know, they were limiting the fees and that sort of thing, encouraging and promoting. Well, their Solar Rights Act was passed years ago, and the opening line, the paragraph says, it is the policy of the state of California to promote and encourage solar energy systems and to remove any regulatory obstacle in their way. And so the Solar Rights Act was a huge thing for us in the solar industry. We're coming up on a break here right now, and we're going to continue this topic because it is important as we go forward. But this is Powerhouse Solar, and we are here with Clean Energy Radio. We're here with Adam McElvain, and we are excited because he is running for city council, and we are putting our full endorsement behind him and excited to see what's going to come down the pike. So we'll be right back in a minute, and give us a call at 275-5600 if you'd like to learn more.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com. Then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Congratulations to the graduating class of 2016. I love this time of year. Friends and family fill the house as you celebrate.
Easy for you to say. You're not the one stuck in the kitchen cooking while everyone else is having a good time.
Seriously? Have you tasted my cooking?
Mom, no!
Honey, call Mary's Pizza Shack.
What's this?
It's the catering menu from Mary's Pizza Shack. They have party trays available for takeout, or they can deliver right here to the house.
Look at this menu. They have appetizers, sandwiches, pasta, and Mary's famous meatballs. Oh, those are the best I've ever tasted.
Really?
And they even have a 22-inch party pizza. Honey, this year you're getting out of the kitchen and joining the party. Mary's Pizza Shack Catering for graduations, weddings. I am so glad I thought of this.
You thought of it? You need to call now because some items require advance notice.
What's the number?
Mary's Pizza Shack, 247-1110, or online at maryspizzashack.com.
Reading Kia's construction sale continues at 380 East Cypress Avenue in Reading with a great deal waiting for you.
The 2016 Kia Soul is the highest ranked compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality.
For J.D. Power award information, go to jdpower.com.
And now with $750 bonus cash and 0% financing for 66 months.
All 16 14s and Optimus are priced to move with $1,000 bonus cash and 0% financing for 66 months. That's free money.
16 Sedonas, $500 bonus cash and 0% for 66 months.
17 Sorentos, $500 bonus cash and 1.9% for 72 months. And every new Kia sold comes with complimentary lifetime oil changes and tire rotation.
There's no better time than right now to head to Reading Kia.
Take a test drive, make a great deal, save money, be happy.
Plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, any dealer document processing charge, and any emission testing fee on approval of credit subject to prior sale ends September 5th.
Reading Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, Facebook, YouTube, readingkia.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. Our guests for Monday will include Enjoy the Magazine, Rhonda Ball, and James Masada to talk about what's happening in Northern California during this month and next month. We'll also do catch-ups on what happened in Nice, France, and any follow-ups to that. This and much more Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Hello. At Hilltop Medical Clinic, we're here when you need us. No appointments are necessary. This gives us a unique picture of the health and the infections that are circulating in our community. Want to know if influenza has arrived in Reading? Then like our Hilltop Medical Clinic Facebook page or go to our website at hilltopmedicalclinic.com. Awareness is one of the best ways to protect the health of your family and children. Hilltop Medical Clinics, 221-1565 or 246-4629.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
morning. This is Clean Energy Radio. This is Bruce and Sue Blake. We're from Powerhouse Solar, and we have a special guest today, Adam McIlvaine.
Yeah.
And we're talking solar and alternative energy.
Yeah. We just came off of an interesting topic, and it just started us during the break. We got talking, and I thought, oh, let's do this on air. So, you know, as a company dealing with solar and dealing with in the city of Reading, it has been incredibly difficult, and which is sad. And so the city of Reading, you know, tried to do their rate change, which was a solar killer by any stretch of the imagination. And when it didn't go through, then we saw a large uptick in the difficulty of being able to pull permits. Now, supposedly those two departments are completely separate, REU and the building department. Well, they're in the same building, and they're in a lot of ways, they're two sides of the same coin. And so now the building department is making it incredibly difficult to pull permits. In fact, I've got a customer right now that I want to specifically address. This gentleman bought a home, an older home, in an area, in a part of Reading that it had a converted, it was like a one-car garage that had been converted to like a breezeway. He uses it as an office, and it's actually there's a door that goes and then entrance into his kitchen. And on that roof is where we were proposing to put part of our solar was going to go onto this part of the roof because it had the best sun exposure. So when we went to pull permit, you know, we have to jump through all their hoops, and they were doing all kinds of things that additionally we don't have to do in any other jurisdiction. Like tripling the size of the stanchions that we put down, which is tripling the amount of penetrations that we're putting in the roof, and tripling the cost of actually attaching it to the roof. And that's a citywide thing, and we already have to account for that when we price a job in the city of Reading. And then on top of that, it came up that particular little room was not permitted, and so. And he had bought the house that way. And since he had bought the house, he had his two-car detached garage had actually burned down, and he had rebuilt the whole two-car garage. He'd put in a really beautiful swimming pool in the backyard and all these things, and it never came up as an issue. Well, now that we're doing the solar, so he has a friend of his who's an engineer, brings his friend in who's an engineer in the area. And he went down and met with the city and to talk about what needed to be done. And they got the list of what they wanted. He did it for them. He went back and they made all kinds of, we cut the roof open so they could see exposed the rafters. We could see how everything was laid out. And he did what's called an as-built drawing. And he's an engineered, California registered PE, mm-hmm. A professional engineer. And so he wet stamped the drawings, sent them in. City calls for more. Stuff does what they want, sends it back in. The city calls for more stuff. I think he did it three times, and so finally, my client called me a week ago Monday to say that he's done. He said the engineer had a yelling match over the counter with the guys from the building department because it was so ridiculous what they're wanting. On this existing structure that had been done 30-something years prior. So that was one. And then my client finally said that he's pulling the plug. And I've been in contract with him since November. So I've been trying to get this permitted and installed since November.
Wow.
And now my client just said, Bruce, I'm done. He goes, my engineer it will not do any work in the city writing again. And he's walked out. So, and then that was one. The second one was we did another really straightforward installation in the city of Reading. It's a roof mount on the front of a building, and the product that we use is aesthetically, it's gorgeous. I mean, it's really, really nice on the front of a roof. It's not like a lot of typical solar that's real high-techy looking and that sort of thing, but it's a very nice-looking product. Well, we had it set up on the roof, almost ready for final. The inspector comes out. He does an over an hour inspection, which is nuts for a straightforward solar system on a residential house, a track home. Mm-hmm. And then he says, oh, well, you need to have disconnects on the roof. It's like, disconnects on the roof? what are you talking about? You've never required disconnects on the roof. And so in order to do it, we would have had to stand up a big, they call it a DC, a locking knife switch disconnect. And it's a special disconnect that breaks DC power. Because we have DC power running from the panels into the attic and then down to the inverter in the garage. Well, because there was two arrays on the roof, it was separated. We had to have two of them that would totally ruin the aesthetics and put these ugly big breakers on the front of this customer's home. And we said, what? Where's this coming from? You know? And so my lead installer had this conversation with the inspector, and he said, well, let me call in and find out. So he calls in, and he was gone for like 10 minutes, and he comes back and said, well, it's a fire code. It's a fire safety code that, you're going to have to talk to the fire department. And so we're just enforcing this thing. So we called the fire department, the fire marshal, and we called him and we said, hey, you know, what's going on here? I mean, is this – and he'd never heard of this. So we went back and we called them on it. We caught them in a circular lie of what was going on. And we said, well, what is this about? And they said, well, it's an interpretation of – it looks like this is what's going to happen in the 2016 code change. I said, wait a minute. So now you're enforcing what might be – in the 2016 code change, you're enforcing it now, and finally they signed it off. They knew they had gotten caught in this whole thing, but this is the kind of stuff we're dealing with over and over and over again. They're looking for more and more stuff to make it just impossible to install solar.
Yeah. Well, you're someone who gets a lot of experience because you do the projects outside of the city.
Absolutely.
And then inside the city.
Yeah.
And so it's a much more difficult environment. Or jurisdiction within the city.
It is.
Yeah.
We deal everywhere from on the south down to El Dorado County, you know, and to all the way to the Oregon border, you know. And it's mostly things are over-the-counter permits.
Uh-huh.
Very simple. You know, a lot of the jurisdictions will require engineering, which is no big deal. I mean, it's an additional cost, but they'll say, well, give us an engineer drawing of your racking system. Boom, wet stamp engineered, it's fine.
Yeah.
Wet stamp engineering means nothing to the city of Reading because they have two engineers, two full-time structural engineers on staff. That's all they do is they evaluate. And they don't care if you have wet stamp drawings from a professional licensed engineer from the state of California. It's irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
And they will tear apart their drawings and their calculations and to make it just more difficult.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy what we're dealing with.
Right. Well, it's stifling progress and the economy and local business owners and, you know, a number of things. So
yeah,
it's unfortunate to hear that. And, we'll have to talk more after the show because I'd like to follow up and get some more of the details.
Yeah. I'd love to. I mean, the more people that know about what's going on, I think when they do it in silence and they do it to us individually, they can get away with a lot. But if we band together as solar companies, and I try to let some of my, you know, friendly competitors know what's going on, that what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
That it makes it harder for the city to get away with some of the things they're trying to pull.
Yeah, that was interesting with the fire marshal. I'd like to hear more about that, too.
It was very interesting.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had mentioned that there's three things that your campaign is running on, Adam, and we got about 6 or 7 minutes left.
Okay.
So could you tell us a little bit what those are?
Yes. So, well, the number one thing is public safety. And, you know, I have young children and want a safer city.
Yeah.
As a veteran, I'm a strong supporter of law enforcement and want to see more of the, you know, the city's revenues have been growing steadily for the past 4 years. And I just don't feel like enough of the revenue is getting to law enforcement.
Right.
You know, we need more support personnel. When the recession hit, you know, I was going to those city council meetings when all those cuts were being made. And in the police department, it was the guys at the very bottom of the totem pole that are being cut first.
Right.
You know, and we've lost a lot of that support staff, which kept our response times low when they can come and file reports, take phone calls. So that to me is incredibly important. So I want to see and make sure that the lion's share of our resources go to law enforcement. And that's one of the reasons why I'm pushing some of these economic drivers is because we need more revenue to the city of Reading.
Yeah.
So I think solar is a huge economic driver for our area for the next 15, 20 years.
Right.
The other one is I want to start an internet utility.
Oh, yeah.
And
tell
so
us,
that's
yeah.
something that's new. There's about 500 publicly owned internet providers across the country now.
Yeah.
Last spring, the FCC reclassified internet providers as a basic utility. So according to the federal government, now an internet provider is like natural gas or electricity or water. It's a basic utility service. So we need to really start looking at the internet like that. So because we own the electric utility, we have a huge advantage because we own all the poles and pipes.
Yeah.
That's the biggest hurdle towards bringing in new internet. And bringing in fiber is actually what I'm talking about.
So would REU would control
this? No, so it'd be a separate utility. So my idea is to start with downtown.
Yeah.
And, give downtown some new infrastructure, which is still pretty rare across the country. In 2011, there was the electric utility in Chattanooga, Tennessee, started offering high-speed internet. And so when we talk high-speed, we're talking really high-speed. So beyond, if you have DSL at your home, that's like a garden hose.
Mm-hmm.
If you have cable at your home, that's like a fire hose. We're talking about bringing in the Sacramento River.
Wow.
Like a huge, huge pipe.
Is that fiber optics?
So fiber optics,
yeah.
Right. And Google has done this in 7 or 8 cities now across the country.
Yeah.
So Google's brought in and brought in Google Fiber. So the city, Chattanooga, Tennessee, they did theirs in 2011, and the University of Tennessee just published a report in the last couple months that said that infrastructure has added 2,800 new jobs and $865 million in economic development.
Wow.
In the last 5 years.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a very, and these are clean industry jobs. Living wage jobs, high paying jobs. So again, not minimum wage, but living wage jobs. And this is something that we can do in Reading actually quite easily.
Yeah.
It's not a slam dunk, but it's an easy free throw.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We own our electric utility. We already have the linemen that can install and maintain the fiber. We have customer service and billing already exist. So about 80% of what we need already exists. And downtown, the downtown is mostly poles.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to come through and hang the fiber and then offer that service to downtown businesses and residents.
Wow. And they'd love that.
Great idea.
Right. So we pay, at my office, we pay $1,500 a month to Charter for 100 megabit fiber. And I'm talking about bringing in gigabit fiber downtown for less than $200 a month.
Oh, wow.
So 10 times the level of service for almost a tenth of the cost.
Wow. Mm.
So we're over off Larkspur, so I'm not sure we'll be able to move downtown anytime soon if the service comes in. But that service will invigorate current businesses.
Yeah.
It will draw people. Our downtown will become a magnet across the region. Other areas, the Bay Area or the Valley, businesses can move up here. And it's the infrastructure of the modern economy,
right.
As is solar. The two economic things that I'm really campaigning on are infrastructure, which is what the government does.
Right.
So I'm very excited about our future and excited for the possibilities of solar on our horizon.
Yeah.
And bringing in some high-speed internet.
So community safety.
So public safety.
Public
yes.
safety. High-speed internet.
Uh-huh.
Which was really
internet-based
utility.
Correct. Yep.
And solar.
Yes.
Those are the three main foundations of your platform that you're running with.
There's a few other things, but those are the big ones that I like to talk about and really debate with the public and
how can our listeners support you?
So if you want, anyone can give me a call at any time. My number is 530-276-7012. So if they want to give me a call and chat, that'd be great.
Yeah.
My website's adammcilvain.com. I'm also on Facebook, so you can go and like my Facebook page. I'll be having more events here in the fall.
Yeah.
As the campaign sort of ticks up, and the election is November, so obviously, anyone that could support me or vote for me would be very appreciated. I'd be honored to serve the city of Reading. Yeah. I've been in service my entire adult life to my country and the city and the community and want to take that level of service to the next level up.
Yeah.
So
we're excited. Man, I tell you that, Adam, we feel honored to be able to support your campaign, and we look forward to it. We're going to have you back on in future shows as we get closer to that time. I think it's going to be a wild election.
It's going to be
in a lot of ways.
There's a lot of things going on at the federal level and the state level and the city level too. So.
Yep. Great. Hey, we're on a hard break. This is the end of our show. This is Bruce and Susan Blake with Clean Energy Radio, and we've had a great time with Adam McIlvain, and we just are excited to have him here. So, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jeremy House. Indiana Governor Mike Pence has delivered a ringing endorsement of Donald Trump after being introduced today as Trump's running mate. Pence says Republicans have a big opportunity.
Let's come together as a party and a people and a movement to make America great again.
Trump says there's a big distinction between his running mate and his presumptive opponent.
Mike Pence is a man of honor, character, and honesty. We know that. Hillary Clinton is the embodiment of corruption. She's a corrupt person.
Pence also endorsed Trump's pledges to repeal Obamacare, revive the coal industry, and toughen the nation's immigration policy. There's a whole new look to the Indiana governor's race now that Mike Pence is out.
Two House Republicans quickly ended their reelection bids and tossed their hats into the gubernatorial race. Susan Brooks and Todd Rokita both filed paperwork to run for governor.